Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
If you're creating content that is relevant to the people that you're trying to reach, you're going to do well. You really are. I'm maybe naive about that, but so far I think that things are working in such a way that that has been proven out.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Larry O'Connor, host of O'Connor & Company at News Talk 105.9 FM in Washington, D.C. We'll talk with Larry a little bit later on in today's program about his path into media and radio and audio and the future of journalism. First, we're joined by Dr. Mark Moyer. He is William P. Harris Chair of Military History at Hillsdale College, also author of the recent book, Masters of Corruption. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be with you.
Talking today about an essay you wrote and was published at the Chronicle of Higher Education, focused on conservatives in higher education, and you begin by thinking back to your time on college campus, which is pretty close to my time on a college campus, 1994, 1996, the mid-90s. How would you describe your experience and the experience maybe for many conservatives on college and university campuses back that time, 30 years ago or so?
Yes, well, at the time, it seemed like things were pretty bleak. We had only a few conservative professors at Harvard where I was an undergraduate. But you know, when you look at it in comparison with today, it actually was quite a bit better because you at least had a few conservative faculty. Now they're pretty much gone in most places. And you know, back then, conservatives were still more or less free to speak their minds. You knew there was some cost to you, perhaps, for speaking out, but a lot of conservatives did. Now, conservatives at the student newspaper I used to work, they actually publish under pseudonyms for the most part because they're so afraid that both faculty and students are going to hold their views against them.
You went back recently to Harvard, and what did you see? What did you experience? How would you describe how the sense and the feel had changed in these decades?
Yeah, so I spoke with some conservative students, and I was thought there might be some vocal opposition from the left that somebody who'd served in the Trump administration was showing up. But actually, basically, the left just was not there. And what the students told me was that it's to the point that basically left and right don't even talk to each other anymore, which I think is bad in many respects. I mean, college is supposed to give you an opportunity to engage with different ideas and engage in debate, and I think we all benefit when we have conversations with people we disagree with, but it's now to the point that people simply won't engage.
Why do you think that is? I've talked previously with a few people about the influence of DEI policies on campuses, the idea if you have a conversation with someone with opposing viewpoints, you risk saying the wrong thing, mentioning the wrong phrase, you're reported, there are consequences. Is that a big deal on campuses these days?
It is. I think it's a huge deal. I think it's a big part of why people are afraid to talk with each other and to say things that might be controversial. I mean, there was just recently New York Times article on University of Michigan that talks at great length about it. And I think what we're seeing now is that even moderates and some liberals are coming to see that the intolerance of the far left has had a stifling effect on our campuses, and it's not just stopping now conservatives from speaking, but even people who may not be conservative but have an idea that doesn't conform to radical dogmas.
In the piece at the Chronicle of Higher Education, Dr. Mark Moyer, you write about, 30 years ago, 20 years ago even, you could identify some prominent conservative professors at these institutions across the country. There weren't a ton, but there were some prominent names. These days, far fewer and perhaps none on some campuses. How did we allow this to happen? And we, I mean, as a society where a single orthodoxy is apparently in place in our institutions of higher education.
Yes, well, I think it starts in the 1960s with the baby boomers rising. And you had the previous generation, the silent generation, which was not as liberal, but they were open-minded, and so they thought they would let some of these folks into the faculty. But then once you had the left starting to get a bigger presence, they decided that they were going to use university as a platform for political activism, and part of that was keeping conservatives out. And so as all these older professors retired, they get replaced with people who adhere to liberal or left-wing ideology. And so now what you're left with is really liberals and radicals, and now they're starting to go at each other because the liberals themselves are not, you know, woke enough or liberal enough.
Talking with Dr. Mark Moyer, his piece over at the Chronicle of Higher Education on conservatives on college campuses, mostly on the professor side. Some might hear and say, well, I mean, so what? What's the big deal? Conservatives can go work at think tanks. They can be outside the universities. Why are professorships at prestigious institutions and universities important in the big picture?
For a few reasons. One is that they help educate students who are may have some conservative leanings or even those who don't, but they help spread and teach conservative thinking, serious conservative thinking, the likes of Edmund Burke or Russell Kirk, William F. Buckley. And when you don't have that, you're also losing out in expertise in a lot of fields that are important for the governing of this country, because you don't have people getting graduate degrees, and you know, smart conservatives just won't go into graduate degrees because there aren't professors to teach them.
Dr. Mark Moyer with us as we talk about his piece at the Chronicle of Higher Education. You mentioned some donors with some pushback, and if you look around, you will see some students as well, particularly in response to some of the anti-Israel protests on campus in the past year or so. Are you at all convinced that the pendulum is swinging back toward the center at least?
Well, I think it still remains to be seen. We have seen, even at some of the most elite institutions, that there's growing pushback. Some of it is coming from people seeing the sort of anti-Semitic extremism on campus, but also just others, again, not even conservatives, who see that this toxic culture is spilling into society on things like DEI, transgenderism. And so I think we're starting to see some change. You've seen some university presidents get fired over this, but it's going to be difficult for them because the faculty has so much power at most of these institutions. But I think we will see some progress. Whether it's going to be large scale, I think remains to be seen, but a few institutions like University of Florida are, you know, for the first time bringing in a lot of conservative faculty. So one of the encouraging things is that in the past you might even discourage conservatives from getting a PhD. Now there are at least some job opportunities for them.
I think you mentioned in the piece, or at least asked the question, you know, what can be done to Harvard as a private institution? And yet, as you also allude to, that there are some presidents that have been replaced in the past year, and part of that is a direct response to the testimony in front of Congress. So we project a bit and say if there is a Republican conservative administration in the White House for the next 4 years, are there levers that can be pulled to influence the culture on some of these campuses?
I think there are some, and I think the congressional hearings are a great example. Just Congress forcing these people to answer tough questions
really not tough questions. Tough for them. Shouldn't be tough questions.
Yes, that's right. And so bring some transparency. I think that's helpful. You know, they do receive a lot of federal funding, these private institutions. So that is another mechanism that I think can be used. But we're also seeing, a lot of this coming from private individuals, some of the donors are finally waking up and saying, yeah, I can't believe what's being done with my money, and I'm going to pull it, or you're going to have to change some things. So we're seeing some pressure there. But I certainly think the election will be very important, because the Democratic Party, I don't think, has any interest or desire to solve these problems. They are, many of them, products of this environment.
Dr. Mark Moyer, you can read this piece at The Chronicle of Higher Education. He is William P. Harris Chair of Military History here at Hillsdale College, and also highly recommended his recent book, Masters of Corruption, which could have some application to a potential administration. We could talk about that in the future. Dr. Mark Moyer, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Great to be with you again, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Larry O'Connor, morning radio host in Washington, D.C., and Pulliam Fellow here at Hillsdale College this term. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy homestyle turkey, slow roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at the School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked. taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at podcast.hillsdale.edu. That's podcast.hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Larry O'Connor. He is the host of O'Connor and Company on WMAL in Washington, D.C., weekday mornings. Also, Larry, streaming middays via Town Hall Media. He's also our Pulliam Fellow on campus this term here at Hillsdale College, a lecturer to people here and also teaching a class to our journalism students on broadcasting and podcasting. Larry, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. You said the name of the show properly on Town Hall. It's Larry, although you made it sound like it was Larry with an exclamation. Yeah. It's not Larry. It's right. Larry.
I'll do better next time.
That's all right. No, I just wanted to make sure because if people start searching and they're, finding the exclamation point.
So you had a very interesting road to where you are today and entering the journalism field.
Yeah.
Coming from theater and making a transition.
Yeah.
Tell us the short version of that story, if you would.
It's the weirdest story in the world, but I going to school when I was a kid in high school, I loved theater and I wanted to work in the professional theater business on Broadway. So right after high school, I took a year off of college, went to New York, got a job with a company called the Schubert Organization, largest theater owner on Broadway. And, that year is still going on. Never went back to college. I got very lucky. I'm not saying that other kids should follow my path, but I got a job, not as an actor, but in the management and production end of the theater business. After 5 years in New York, I got sent back out to Los Angeles to manage the Schubert Theater in L.A., big Broadway musical touring house. Sadly, been torn down to make way for the brand new office building of a giant mega agent, which tells you L.A.'s priorities when it comes to cultural enrichment. But I was in that business for over 15 years, working for that company and then as an independent general manager and producer, and I loved it. I met Andrew Breitbart, who was starting sort of a new media revolution, right-of-center media revolution. Of course, he had worked at the Drudge Report, mm-hmm. and he was just starting his brand-new websites that would eventually become Breitbart News. And I was part of that origin story. And he was looking for people who were right-of-center in the entertainment business to sort of tell our perspective about being in television and films, and in my case, theater, and being a conservative. There are a lot of us, but no one knows about us.
Sure.
We're sort of... It's one of those industries where you don't really speak out and tell your politics if you don't have the right politics or left politics in this circumstance. So I embraced that option. I had been sort of a Reagan Republican growing up, and yes, I was kind of a secret conservative in the entertainment business or in the theater business. One thing led to another with Andrew, and I loved being a part of his movement, what he was creating. He ended up hiring me, and I reached that. There was a tipping point where I had to decide, do I leave this old career that I've spent almost 20 years building here? Do I leave that behind and follow this guy, this crazy guy, with this new media revolution that he was creating through his websites? And I sort of took the plunge. I like to say it was my little red Corvette, midlife crisis instead of buying the car, but it ended up actually leading to a career.
I imagine that path gives you some interesting insight into what people want to hear or why they want to listen to someone like you coming from the outside and then working your way in. What have you learned about the type of content, the type of show that people want to listen to?
Oh, thank you for that question. Because I think because I didn't have this, dear friends of mine who were doing what I'm doing right now, they knew when they were in high school that they wanted to be a radio host, that they wanted.
Or maybe even before then.
And even before then, exactly. And they got their degrees and they got a broadcast journalism degree at the right colleges. And there's a handful of really good colleges that do that. And I do feel like because I started this much later, I spent that same time that they were, cutting their teeth in different markets and sort of learning the craft, I was a consumer of the content. And, listen, we all have our Rush Limbaugh story. The first time you hear Rush Limbaugh and how it was like this new thing and this different. And the things that, if you look back on the last 30 years of Rush Limbaugh's career, the shows that really stick out to me, I don't know about you, are shows where he talks about things that aren't actually about the president, aren't about Congress, mm-hmm. aren't about It's about real things in our life. Sometimes it's about football. Sometimes it's about golfing. Sometimes it's about relationships with his wife or with his family. And when I do my morning show, I always like to joke with listeners who say, you know, if I'm interviewing somebody and it starts to get a little contentious, and I try hard not, because no one, you know, you don't want a fight in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They always say, you know, well, you know, Mark Levin would have ripped that guy. Mark Levin would have done this. Mark Levin would have done that. And I say, yeah, but no one wants to wake up to Mark Levin.
Right.
When you're doing a morning show, you really want to start people off in a more positive and upbeat way. You also want to give them a pretty wide block of stories and things that they can talk about when they get into the office. So when McDonald's comes out with a new, you know, chicken Big Mac, I want my listeners to know that people are going to be talking about a chicken Big Mac today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's some story going on with, you know, either whether it's Taylor Swift or Meghan Markle that has nothing to do with who's sitting in the White House, I want my listeners to be able to have that conversation with the person at the cubicle next to them. So because that's what real people talk about. No one obsesses about politics on a moment by moment basis.
Talking with Larry O'Connor, host of O'Connor and Company at WMAL in Washington, D.C., and Larry on Town Hall Media. You do a live radio show in the morning, which becomes a podcast, a live streaming show in the midday, which also later you can access at the time that you wish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about creating both content that is live and now in the moment, but also content that can be appreciated 6 hours from now, 12 hours from now, a week from now, since the internet is forever?
Yes, yes. Yeah, the on-demand question versus live is a tough one when it comes to story selection and how you want to approach what you're producing and presenting to your audience. And they're two very different skill sets, absolutely. I have been living in this for the last 13, 14 years now. I've been living with this, you know, we have to be immediate in the news cycle kind of mentality, that it's very hard to step away and say, okay, what's a bigger story that people will be watching or listening to, you know, months or years from now? I don't always get it right, and I'm surprised by some of the things that has legs, mm-hmm. you know. I still think, based on the world that we're living in right now, that the most important thing is to deliver information that's relevant to people right now based on what's going on in the world. So that's how we approach our daily shows, and I prefer doing things live. In fact, our video show, we don't have a choice in radio. We're live. That's sort of the fun and immediacy of it, and I think it creates that intimate relationship with mm-hmm. the audience. It really helps build it. But on the video streaming show, we could record it and do post-production and edit it and put in lots of different things and fix every little minor, you know, flaw and then present it and upload it later. But we started doing it live just out of expediency, and the show got 10 times better. There's something, you know,
yes.
And there's something about doing it live that just brings out, I think, the best, not just in the host, it just happens to be accidentally me in this case, but also in that relationship with the audience. And so I always like to do that, and I want to focus on it. That said, we're going to be adding a new component to the show that's going to be a long-form interview mm-hmm. type show that hopefully, when you sit down with somebody interesting, like a Victor Davis Hanson or a Senator Ted Cruz, or a Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid. Actually, Randy Quaid.
Both.
They're both pretty interesting in their own way. You're a fool if all you do is talk about what's in today's headlines. And so I'm excited about that one because you approach it differently as an interviewer and as a broadcaster. And you really try to do a long sort of zoom out of not just the granular stuff, but about, you know, I talked to Dennis Quaid. I want to talk about what it was like to work with Meg Ryan in the 80s, you know, in Inner Space and stuff like that. And how Hollywood was different and what the studio system was like, all that stuff. And I'm looking forward to sort of presenting those long-form interviews very soon when we start adding that component to Town Hall, where that stuff's meant to live on for a long time. So that'll be coming soon.
Larry O'Connor with us. We'll continue our conversation with him and dig into the future of journalism next. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Festive Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Reading Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. We've been talking with Larry O'Connor, Pulliam Fellow this term, here at Hillsdale College, morning radio host at WMAL in Washington, D.C. We talked previously about his path into the industry. Now, Larry, a bit about the future of the industry. Now, Larry, this is not the first presidential election cycle in which online media has played a role. Remember back to Barack Obama interviewing with a woman who was in a bathtub full of cereal or between two ferns, right? But this is one in which some of the more prominent and popular podcasts and video streams with large audiences are getting these interviews and long-form sit-downs with the candidates very close to election day. You gave a lecture while you were here on campus in which you talked about the media and the election. What do you make of perhaps this cycle being the one in which these alternative distribution sources begin to get traction when it comes to candidate availability?
Yeah, it's funny. The very end of my lecture that I gave, which is now at the Hillsdale College YouTube, by the way,
you can find it.
Really exciting that people are watching it already. It basically focus, what I call the good news. You know, I told people, listen, you're going to get outraged by some of the things I show you about what the media has done in this election cycle, but I promise you there's a happy ending. And the happy ending is the gatekeepers are no longer relevant. Then the gatekeepers, I mean the editors, the producers, the people who decided what we were allowed to see and not allowed to see, that they would tell us what was broadcast worthy and what was not, whether it was in their 22-minute evening newscast or whether it was at 60 Minutes, as we saw famously this year, deceptively editing an interview with Kamala Harris. They all got to call the shots. And now there's two different people who are two groups of people who are benefiting from the gatekeepers no longer having that power over us. Obviously, we the people, we get to select and choose what information we are going to spend our time hearing. And by these candidates going to these alternative platforms, we're able to directly access it through the platforms, whether it's YouTube or Rumble or Facebook or what have you, Spotify. We can get right to it without anybody giving us permission or us having to deign to ask permission. They see the fact that their dominance and their control over the narrative is no longer, and that's the tipping point. And I think that we'll really know it for sure when the next election comes around, and it's not automatically TV journalists who are chosen to be the moderators at these debates. I don't know why their skill set of reading a teleprompter has put them in this powerful position of being able to participate in the selection process for our candidates, but it was a terrible idea in the first place, and I hope this is the end of that.
I have a couple of questions to which I don't have great answers. People ask me about this. I've been asked by both college students and actually some high school students over at Hillsdale Academy. I did a presentation about media and elections, and they ask questions like this. And I gave my best answer, but I'm interested to steal yours perhaps in the future.
Please.
Doing things like these shows that have a more selective audience, you have to find them. You have to opt in perhaps to see them as opposed to it being broadcast or televised.
Yeah.
Whether it be Smartless on the left or something like Joe Rogan more on the right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of it creating this more fractured media environment? And perhaps as a campaign or as a candidate, I'm reaching fewer persuadables.
Yeah.
If you have to opt in to say, I want to listen to Smartless, I like Jason Bateman already, and now I want to hear Kamala Harris too.
Yeah.
The undecideds or the people who aren't paying a lot of attention to the political environment aren't necessarily going to take that extra step.
Yes, it's the siloing of the information and the partitioning, I guess, is the concern here. I think this is where social media comes in. Most people are not going to sit and watch all 3 hours of Donald Trump talking to Joe Rogan, but they will see a clip go by on their Facebook or their Instagram or on their X platform, or multiple clips. Or if they want to seek out those clips, they can seek out those clips and see highlights of those things. And this is where social media can actually have a good use in our society, in that it helps sort of allow people to utilize the power of their searchability. I use X all the time now, mm-hmm. because I think the X search engine is actually superior to Google in terms of finding what I need to find very quickly for the most part. But I think that the content, if you're creating content that is relevant to the people that you're trying to reach, you're going to do well. You really are. I'm maybe naive about that, but so far I think that things are working in such a way that has been proven out. Yeah.
You mentioned in that lecture, you like YouTube, you like this YouTube video, things will pop up in the sidebar that you also might like. Okay. When do we talk about the possibility of suppression or algorithm manipulation?
Yep.
How do we trust YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, right? Twitter X might be okay, mm-hmm. Elon Musk, right? But Instagram, I don't really use TikTok.
You shouldn't trust him.
Okay, so if we're counting on that to perhaps increase distribution and find new viewers, listeners, maybe we can't.
You're right. I don't think that should be the reason why the industry doesn't move in this direction, because I still think it's powerful, and I think that it's going to be, on the whole, it's going to benefit the consumer as well as the content creator. But it is the biggest hazard. The biggest hazard is so much of this content moving to the digital platforms that are controlled by a small number of tech companies, where the second they want to suppress things, they can. And I think that there's a couple of answers to that. The first is I still believe the free market will prevail. And ultimately, good ideas are going to always win. Yeah. And freedom is always going to win. We already see, listen, YouTube is facing competition with Rumble. Rumble mm-hmm. is very small compared to YouTube. But the second they start messing with content creators again, Rumble will grow. It has reached the point, I understand, and I, again, free marketeer, and they created these things, and they built it, and it's their sandbox, and they should be able to say who plays in their sandbox. But it's become way too vital. It's like the telephone industry as well. I mean, yes, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, but the telephone immediately became so vital to the communication needs of the American people that the government regulation was necessary to make sure that it was free and open mm-hmm. and stable. And so I think that there is a role there. I'm not an expert on that sort of thing, and I'm never the one to say the government has the solution here. But sadly, I think that because some of the private companies have abused mm-hmm. their freedom, and that they have censored people, that I think that it's something that needs to be seriously looked at. I really do.
One more question for you, Larry O'Connor.
Yes, sir.
And this is the one where I mentioned maybe a threat to us. 2020, Joe Biden wins the presidential election, running a basement campaign, not interacting with the media. 2022, John Fetterman has a stroke, wins a Senate race in Pennsylvania, running a campaign in which he doesn't talk to the media. If Kamala Harris wins in 2024, running essentially a campaign in which she doesn't talk to the media.
Yeah.
Are you concerned we get to a point where campaigns, candidates, really important people start saying, we don't need to talk to you at all. We'll have our own stream. We'll set up our own this. We'll set up our own town hall. We'll pick our questions. We don't really need to interact with the media anymore. It might not happen to candidates on the right because they'll always be pushed by the legacy media, but even they might say, we're just not going to do it at all.
Yeah.
Concerning? Are you worried about that?
I think it is concerning. And also, I think that, listen, being around politicians for as many years as I've been covering them and talking to them, I've learned one thing, and that is they will survive. They will do whatever they need to do to win and grow and amass more power and amass more wealth and amass more influence. And it's incumbent on us to be relevant mm-hmm. and be needed, right? If, in fact, it reaches a point where if Kamala Harris does win this election by basically thumbing her nose at 98% of the media has only themselves to blame. Mm-hmm. They have put themselves in that position because they have given her that pass. They have made excuses for her because they have stopped. And when I say the media, I mean the vast majority of the people in the corporate legacy media who have picked sides. And we know whose side they picked. They have decided to position themselves this election cycle to be more utilized as a tool to get their candidate a victory than to actually hold that candidate accountable to the American people. So if it happens, they have only themselves to blame.
Larry O'Connor is our Pulliam Fellow this fall term here at Hillsdale College, a lecturer on campus and teaching our journalism students broadcasting and podcasting. You can catch Larry mornings, O'Connor and Company, WMAL, Washington, D.C., and everywhere online. Plus, Larry on Town Hall Media as well, and on X at Larry O'Connor. Larry, thank you so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Up next, Dr. Kevin Gerstel from Hillsdale's Mathematics Department talks about math and cryptography. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Uh, Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs. Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. Be sure to follow the show on X. We are at Hillsdale Radio. You'll find out every time a new show is ready for you to enjoy. We're joined by Dr. Kevin Gerstle. He is Associate Professor of Mathematics here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Gerstle, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Scott, for having me.
Teaching a course at Hillsdale about cryptography. Last time we talked a bit about the history and evolution of cryptography, and now we get into the sweet spot, which is mathematics and cryptography.
Ah, yes, my passion.
There you go. So tell us again, if you could, just briefly, what is cryptography, and then the fundamental mathematical concepts that are involved in cryptography. Why does this end up in your domain, so to speak?
Sure. So ultimately, cryptography can refer to quite a lot of things in the world of cybersecurity, but specifically, it refers to encryption and decryption. Encryption is you have some message that you want to send to someone else or some data you want to transmit somewhere, but you don't want someone to be able to read it. So you take your message and essentially you put it in sort of a gibberish form that unless you really know what you're doing is not going to be able to be something bad actors can intercept and make sense of. Decryption, on the other hand, is the same process, but in reverse, taking some gibberish message and putting it back into a format that's easily understandable, hopefully by the party you're trying to get it to. And it turns out there's a lot of underlying mathematics involved in the field of cryptography, where most modern cryptography schemes are kind of based on the idea of you take a number like 20 or 21 and you can write it as a product of prime numbers, these sort of these basic building block numbers. So 20, for instance, you can factor into 2 times 2 times 5, or 21 can be factored into 7 times 3. And in the modern day, especially for computers, a relatively, in quotes, easy problem is taking a bunch of numbers like 2 times 2 times 5 and multiplying them together to get 20, whereas a much harder problem is doing that in reverse, taking a number and actually factoring it, taking a number like 20 and saying, what are all the different things that multiply together to get you 20? And there's many modern encryption methods, most commonly the RSA algorithm, that kind of rely on the easiness of multiplication and the difficulty of factoring using what's called public and private keys, which are essentially you can think of as being extremely large numbers, think like hundreds and hundreds of digits long, that are used to encrypt and decrypt private messages. So the public key is the big number that's known to both
that's basically known to everybody, and that's used to encrypt the message to make it in the gibberish format, where the private key is something that you want to keep secret, and that's known only to the recipient, and is used to decrypt the message. And basically, the private key is the tool that tells you how do you actually factor this really, really, really big number that through a whole bunch of rigmarole leads to you being able to understand a message at the very end.
All right. I want to talk a bit about how different mathematical concepts are useful in different ways that cryptography is used. So if we look at security applications, what are some of the mathematical properties that algorithms work with in cryptography when it comes to security?
So with security, it all comes down to the same underlying concepts, whether you're looking at it for security, for authentication, anything in cryptography really kind of boils down to the same levels of math. And ultimately, that is being able to take a message, whether you take your message and you put it in numerical form, whether you're doing something else, that could take the form of various encryption techniques and algorithms like RSA, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's also things like digital signatures, which let's say you're trying to send a secure message to someone else, but you're worried about it, someone else being able to send a message that's purportedly from you. So what you can do with a digital signature is, and a lot of you are using this without even knowing it, I bet, is attached to your message is some very, very big number that's unique to you, that the computer is assigning to you as being, yes, yes, Joe Smith, this is your number. And the other end, when someone gets your message, their computer recognizes that number as, oh, hey, that's Joe Smith's number. Mm-hmm. Only he knows this. Therefore, it's his message, even if Joe Smith himself doesn't actually have anything to do with the number or is even aware of it. Whereas if they get a message from someone purported to be Joe Smith without that number attached, that might be a sign to the computer that, uh-oh, something fishy's going on.
Yeah.
Other ideas out there like hash functions, which are ways of taking data and assigning them to numbers. Turns out, mathematics, as you might guess, loves numbers. Mm-hmm. There's lots of nice ways to manipulate, combine numbers. Doing that with things like names, location, places, long messages is often easier to deal with in numerical format.
How do cryptographic protocols ensure properties like confidentiality and authenticity through mathematical means? We talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So really, they're used, cryptographic protocols are being used in, I would say, three different contexts. First, to ensure that you are the person that you say you are. You're not pretending to be someone else. Second, your data, your information, they're accessible by you alone or by people that you want them to be accessible to and are not being accessible to anyone else. And finally, getting data from point A to point B, whether that's in location, from person to person, from transmitting key customer information to someone else working in the same company as you. Cryptographic methods are being used to help make that secure and so that only the parties that should be getting that data are getting that data.
Talking to Dr. Kevin Gerstle from Hillsdale's Mathematics Department about cryptography and mathematics. Now, mathematics is used to encrypt, but mathematics also can be used the other way to decrypt. And that means that people trying to get that information can perhaps use mathematics in a bad way.
Absolutely.
How can mathematical techniques be used to break some of these cryptographic systems?
Yeah, there's this entire field called signals intelligence that's used to refer to the interception of communications, whether that be electronic, through hand-to-hand communications, if I'm just something as simple as putting a letter in the mail and sending it to someone else. And it's an entire field that's studied by your government, and by people who are out on the and by hackers who are out on the street looking to make a quick buck at your expense. So what are some of the mathematical techniques that are used? Well, a lot of what we've talked about, like factoring very large numbers to find out what's your key, mm-hmm. what's your private key, how can we get at your data. There's something called they have techniques called frequency analysis, which is suppose you have some sort of encrypted message where all the letters have been scrambled. So all your A's are now F's, your B's are all W's and such. Let's say the letter X happens to appear the most number of times in your gibberish message. Well, that probably came from something like E or T, some commonly used letter, as opposed to something like Q or Z.
Right.
And so by kind of doing that sort of mathematical analysis using some probability theory, you can actually find ways to decrypt messages that you don't want being encrypted, which means that simple letter substitutions like that, probably not the most secure way to store your data nowadays.
Right. Collaborations between disciplines. You have mathematicians, of course, cryptographers, but also computer scientists involved, engineers involved. How do those groups work together to drive innovation in cryptography?
Oh, they're all, I would say that all of these roles bleed over into each other when it comes to cryptography. You've got people from very different backgrounds, people coming in with very different skill sets. Mathematicians who kind of understand the underlying mathematics behind it, computer scientists who understand the transmission of data, engineers who build all the devices that are used to actually keep our communications network up and running, for instance, and cryptographers, which lie at the intersection of all three of those disciplines. All of these roles kind of bleed over into each other. And prior to, I would say, the World War II era, it was mainly people working for the government who are doing this sort of encryption, decryption techniques. Now there's all sorts of people in industry, people working in companies and the IT department and outside of it who are always striving to work with each other to find new ways of keeping your data safe, or to keep it not safe in the case of bad actors.
Right.
There's people working in academics. There's people working at you name a place, there's probably someone there who wants to either find a way to keep data safe or to take your data and make it not safe.
Yeah. Dr. Kevin Gerstle is Associate Professor of Mathematics here at Hillsdale College, teaching a course on cryptography in the fall semester of 2024. Dr. Gerstle, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you, listeners.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Mark Moyer from Hillsdale's History Department, Larry O'Connor from WMAL in Washington, D.C., and Kevin Gerstle from Hillsdale's Mathematics Department. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews, Larry O'Connor this week, or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 a.m., for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Linda. spot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.